Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk with you.
Mike, the U.S. dollar is falling. What's the fallout from that?
Well, it's an interesting moment. The Federal Reserve, this week we had inflation data that showed the CPI going down to 3%. The Fed has taken rates so far up to 5.25%. And we're finally getting towards that rate hiking cycle. It looks like one final rate hike in the United States at the end of July. And according to the Fed Fund futures, that should be about it. There's only a 20% chance of another one coming after that. And that's not a great 20%. It's not a great, thing. So we're probably there, and that's causing the dollar bounce that we've seen recently to completely come to an end in a dramatic way. The U.S. dollar index hit a short-term bottom in February, and it surged a little bit into March, but in the past 5 days, the entire rally has evaporated just like that. Gold has come alive. Silver has come alive. Both had been trading, sideways since March, the beginning of March, as the dollar, had this temporary rally. Gold was in a range of a low around 1900, resistance, the top of the range at 2050, and we're now at 1961. So we're still not at a bad place for people to get in if they want to buy gold, silver, similar position. And to confirm the strength of the metals, my favorite indicator to do so is the mining stock to divided by gold ratio, GDX divided by GLD is a simple way to plot it. And it tends to be a leading indicator. When it goes down, it means the mining stocks, the big cap mining stocks, are lagging gold, but when the ratio goes up, they're outperforming. And that ratio turned up over the past week. So some of the mining stocks have had nice bounces. For example, Newmont, which I own, was $40 at the end of May. As we're speaking, it's at 45.5. Now, I don't think these are just temporary moves. Sure, you'll get one day pauses and pullbacks and so forth, but the trend is sideways to up for gold and mining stocks and silver for that matter. And the macro reason why is what you asked about or talked about, and that's the falling dollar. The rally is over. Doesn't mean the dollar's going to crash, but the overall trend, I think, is down. It's because we're at the end of the rate hiking cycle, and interest rate hikes have a huge influence on a country's currency. So the way I view it, gold, mining stocks, more positive outlook for them now. And I think there should be integral parts of anybody's portfolio, even if you own a lot of low-risk assets, such as lots of treasury bonds, for example. They provide hedges for inflation. And you just want to diversify anyway. You don't want to be all invested in bonds or CDs or the NASDAQ or something for that matter either.
So in a situation like that, should you be looking at other areas as well with a lower dollar, how you could benefit from that, not just gold and silver?
Yeah, for sure. One thing about the gold and silver, I think they're still in a good position to buy. They haven't rallied that much off of the recent low, but foreign markets are doing great, and they've been doing great since October. One of the most, if not the best performing market in the world, if you're an American investor, so you're using U.S. dollars, is the German stock market, Germany. And the ETF for Germany, EWG, it's at a new 52-week high as we speak. S&P 500 is not. The Dow is not. The Russell 2000 is not. Not even the NASDAQ is at a 52-week high. But EWG, the ETF for Germany, is. Almost all European ETFs have been outperforming the S&P 500 since October and are doing it as we speak, continuing to do it, many of them trading at a new high today. So foreign markets outside the United States, because you're an American investor, and the Canadian dollar, you know, trades a bit similar to the U.S. dollar, but you have to see how things are priced in Canadian dollars if you're Canadian. But for the most part, foreign markets are doing better than the U.S. market because, as an American myself, if I invest in Germany, I'm using my U.S. dollar to do it. And when I'm doing that, I transform, say I buy the CWG ETF, what's happening is my dollar is being transformed into stocks, securities, held by this ETF, but they're German stocks, so they're priced in euros. And as the euro does better than the U.S. dollar, those investments benefit. So these movements in currencies are huge, you know, in how you invest. If you're a macro investor and want to do something besides just stay in your country and you want to make the most money, I think that's how you need to think. You need to think as a global investor. You know, the funny thing about gold and silver, it is a way to think outside the box, outside the monetary system that you're stuck in, but so is buying securities of other countries outside the country that you live in. And the last time we spoke, I was talking about the Vietnam stock market. The problem, a little bit of a difficulty of simply buying EWG in these European ETFs, is they're already up so much. Like I said, they're making new 52-week highs today, so they're not in as good of a safe spot as gold and silver. The last time we spoke, I pointed out that the Vietnamese ETF, VNM, looked like it was in a great buying position to break out early into a new trend, and it's been going up since that interview. And I think, you know, as far as upside from here to, say, New Year's, I think that actually has more upside than most of these European ETFs. But so it's an interesting moment for all investors. You know, if you want to think outside the box, think outside the country that you're in.
What's going on with crude?
Well, I think crude also is a little bit of a beneficiary from what's happening now. You know, crude has been in a decline, a correction, a pullback for almost a year now, but it's basically been going sideways since March. That was when the final low, I believe, of this decline was, and it looks like it's now turning up or starting to get a more positive underpinning to it. So I think buying energy stocks is a pretty good move too. I own a few, like Exxon, Chevron. I own a couple, you know, big cap energy stocks that pay nice dividends. So I'm a believer in that. I don't think they're going to go up as much as some of these mining stocks will or other sectors. It may not go up, start to go up as quickly or soon either. What's hurt, one of the things that's hurt oil is, you know, we just had a big, huge rally in oil from the low of 2020 when the futures market went negative to last year when the Ukraine war started. And there's just a huge, I think, final speculative run, let's say, in that move associated with the Ukraine war, worries about what it might mean for crude and oil, and think about all the predictions of there are going to be energy shortages in Europe, and all this was going to be the end of Europe almost for their economy, or almost like a depression. And you know, England, they're rolling blackouts for a short period of time, but the dire predictions never happened. You know, things were never, didn't turn out to be bad as they thought, but so oil, I think, fell simply because things weren't as bad as feared. And then, you know, there are slowdowns in the global economy. China is having the lowest number of exports in it now in over a decade. And, you know, shipping is, you know, fueled by oil, you know, shipping goods across the world. So, you know, there has been a little dip in demand. But I think these different factors are basically now priced in, and I'm expecting oil to pretty much go sideways for the rest of the year, which, you know, the oil stocks can rally on that because they actually have fairly cheap valuations. Price-to-earnings ratio for Exxon, for example, is 7.21, while it pays a 3.42% dividend. In contrast, one of everyone's favorite stocks in the United States, one of the most owned stocks, one of the ones doing the best this year, is Microsoft. Well, Microsoft has a PE of 36 and pays a dividend of 0.81%. I'm not telling people sell your Microsoft. What I am saying is Exxon has a lower valuation, pays a good dividend. Don't just stick all your money in these big cap tech wonder stocks just because that's all they talk about on the television box. There's so much more going on in these markets.
I call the people you see on the wonder box yell and sellers. And of course, one name comes to mind, we won't mention it. But just because somebody is yelling about a stock doesn't make it good, does it?
No, or a crypto coin. In fact, yeah. When you hear people talk about crypto coins, run.
Yeah. Someone did a study, actually, for young people. They trust most the people who yell the loudest and have the least experience in the market.
Well, I'd like to know why, but I believe it.
Well, do you have cute videos of you playing with a duck on TikTok while you're talking about financing?
No, but I don't think I'm going to do that, though, even if it's what it takes.
Well, Mike, you'd look so cute playing with
a
duck.
I'd rather talk to you.
Yeah. How do you know I'm not wearing a tutu playing with a duck right now? We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, I know we made fun of them in the past, but the people who decided, I think about 2.5 years ago, Robinhood's the way to go. That's how you're going to get rich. You can just tap a couple of things on your phone and you'll be a millionaire in the next 10 minutes. What's happened to those people?
Well, I'll tell you an antidote, I guess. The statistics show that, you know, they lost a lot of money. Yeah. That's what happened to them. But one way to track that is a simple fact that the number of Robinhood accounts, active accounts, declined significantly last year. But, you know, speaking with people that use these apps or got into the markets as part of that phenomena, I can tell that when that AMC GameStop news hit and those stocks soared, and for a couple weeks people got all excited about that and the meme stocks, that was really the peak of their activity in the markets. Actually, the data shows that too, the brokerage data and studies that reporters have done. But anecdotally, knowing people, that's what happened. And many of these people just stopped trading last year and they just lost money, you know. And these apps, that one in particular, It's very similar to sports betting apps. Mm. And I think it creates a betting mentality like that when it comes to markets. If you get the app, it focuses on the short-term daily price swing, what the stock or whatever it is you're looking at does that single day, instead of fundamentals, earnings, or charts that go back for years, which is kind of what I do. I look at the long-term trends, and I use the shorter-term charts to line myself up with them, and then look at the earnings and dividends to figure out what stocks I want to buy. That's not what Robinhood encourages people to do. It wants you to chase the momentum and get a bettor's mentality. And there was a mania also that's still continuing, I suppose, in trading options that expire at first weekly, and now they got daily options, which is pure gambling. You know, there's no real way to consistently know if something's, you know, even if the trend's up, I wouldn't be betting on daily up days, you know, with options. It's just, that's nuts. But anyway, this gambler's mentality took hold, but a lot of these people stopped betting. But now they're starting to tiptoe back in because of this rally that's accelerated this year in the U.S. stock market, taking the NASDAQ, you know, these tech stocks leading the way up. That's getting people to believe again. And it's wild how the narrative shifted in, I think it was March. Yeah, in March, the regional banks crashed in the United States, and they still have problems that impacted the markets. The averages for a short amount of time, those bank stocks all had broken charts. But after that, the stock market, the S&P and NASDAQ, they recovered by June. The S&P was going through its February high, and the NASDAQ soared. You know, and stocks like NVIDIA really took off, and the narrative shifted from worry about the banks to think about AI, think about ChatGPT and these new technologies. So that's what the people are talking about. And as a story, I was playing poker where I live at, you know, a house game, and there are people in there talking about trading NVIDIA and talking about AI. And these type of discussions would not be going on in March or, you know, last year. So the people are believing again, they're wanting to gamble again, and they're not going to stop until they lose like they did last time. And I'm not saying they're going to lose tomorrow or next week. I think we're in an environment in the financial markets that's going to be okay, let's say, from now to at least the end of the year. So I'm not particularly worried about big drops or corrections. But at some point, there will be a recession. At some point, those problems in the banks, you know, will get worse. There will be growing bankruptcies. You know, there aren't economic booms that last forever. We're not really in an economic boom either. And that's why the focus is not on the earnings growth of corporate America, but on this story of AI revolution. Well, the last time we heard a big tech story theme was 2 years ago when it was Metaverse. We were told Metaverse is the future and all these companies are going to bet on it, so buy those companies so you can get rich before the Metaverse trend really makes people money, or these companies money. Get in early. Well, it turned out that was all hyped up, and the Metaverse was a dud. The people designing the damn thing, excuse me, the darn thing, actually didn't like using it. The number of users that were going in the Metaverse, you never got, I think it was like, never got even over a couple hundred thousand a day, if that. So it's just a complete dud, and Metaverse, the stock, or Meta, it crashed. And no one talked about that trend anymore, no one, or that theme anymore of Metaverse. It's over. They even pivoted now to trying to copy Twitter. And they've kind of abandoned talking about Metaverse as a reason to buy their stock. So what this is to suggest is that we're in a similar meme about technology. It's not Metaverse, it's AI now. What's different is that when that Metaverse was the theme was 2 years ago, when the stock market was actually in a topping process. The internals of the market were declining while the averages were still healthy, relatively going higher. That's always been a classic sign, though, that you're at the end of a bull market, and it turned out it was the end, and that's why that theme came at the very end and everything just dumped. Now we got a theme of reasons to buy, but what I'm suggesting is that the moment is different, not because this technology is great or really is going to change the world. I don't think it will. I think this is all hyped up, perhaps even more than the metaverse was. But what is different is we're not seeing the internals of the market decline. We're not at the end, I don't think, of this bull market cycle, which I say is a short-term cyclical bull market that started in October and is likely to last 1 or 2 years from there, probably two. That means next year, not 10 years from now, you know, which is, I think, what the mentality people have, like this is going to go on for 10 years. No, I think this is more like a cycle like we saw in the 1970s, a decade defined by a secular bear market in the dollar. And what's going on now, the dollar is weak and going down. So, you know, if you want to trade short term, then, you know, AI trades may be a way to do that. I'm more someone that likes trades that line up the longer term trends, and that's where I see stuff linked to inflation and the decline in the dollar as the way to invest and go.
Well, whenever something's hot, it seems it will last forever. Remember Disco, who thought it would never die?
Well, we still got things to look at,
yeah,
that are entertaining, and they may be corny, like the Stayin' Alive movie,
yeah,
you know, the songs. Well, yeah. There's nothing to look at when it comes to the metaverse that you want to look at.
Yeah, real disco was just loud music, sleazy people, and a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, well, that's...
And after a while, you run out, and if you're into cocaine, after a while, you run out of money.
Yeah, or can't do it anymore.
Right, so you're just... Yeah, same thing with certain trends in the market. After a while, the market tops, and you run out of money.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's a coked-up rally, I guess.
Yeah.
AI-driven.
Yeah, put on those flare-bottom pants and shiny makeup and big shoulder pads. Welcome to the 70s. Anyway, Mike, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on?
Oh, it's going to be a fun summer, you know. Most people in the markets now have something that they can be happy about, I think, for the short term.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.